Hi, hello. We have a celebratory and reflective episode of the Dunker Spot coming your way. As announced on Friday, we are 500 episodes into this podcast. So Steve and I take a trip down memory lane. We have a couple of guests pop through. We talk a little bit of hoops, but we mostly talk about us, our journey, how the podcast has grown. We take some questions from the YouTube chat that popped in. We hope you enjoyed this episode and many more episodes to come. Hi, hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Dunker Spot. We're part of the Yahoo Sports Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, the always excellent Steve Jones Jr. Steve, how are we doing today?
Got to do it to him. Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to be here. Excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. What's up, brother?
Yeah, it's been a whole lot of bounce embracing. We are 500 episodes in. And for this one, we're just here to have fun. We're here to talk to the Dunkers. We're here to be reflective. I'm sure we're going to get sentimental as we kind of reflect on what 500 episodes of this podcast has been. It has been quite the journey. And I know I'll be saying this throughout the episode, but just off rip, Steve, thank you for rocking with me / putting up with me for 500 episodes. Not at all a small undertaking, but I do appreciate you. Very excited to kind of go back down memory lane with some of this stuff, man. This has been a journey.
It has. And again, thank you for choosing me to do this show with. Thank you for all the effort you put into it. And you have continued to grow, as we'll talk about with some of these questions. But I really appreciate you. You work your tail off. You deserve this. You belong. And so it's not putting up with you. It's just, you just like a brother.
Yes. And with that comes a little bit of, you know, I grate your nerves sometimes, but we have made it through 500 of these, man. It's such a wild number to say out loud, because this has just been one, just having a conversation with someone that I genuinely love and respect. Tied to that is we both love basketball, so it's not difficult to just talk about basketball. Once you kind of zoom out and sit a little bit, it's like, man, we have sat in a chair, got microphones, and we've done this 500 plus times. Like, that is not an easy thing to do, even though it has felt easy for a lot of this.
It's not something I think about until right this moment, because you try and just create and do the best that you can and enjoy it and have a laugh and learn and do the best as far as talking about the game as you can. But then you sit back and it's like, we really have done this a long time. We're a long way away from Andre Drummond, active hands, Cleveland Cavalier for 17 minutes. So it's just kind of been fun to have this journey and this growth within it. Like, I don't take it for granted. So again, like, being able to do this and hit a number like that, if I was 25, we would have had 5 episodes.
It would have been 2 big mad segments. You're like, all right, man, you got it. Oh dear. So thank goodness we crossed paths at the right time, which I guess we do have like some basic questions for the newer Dunkers that are just kind of hopping in, like episode 420 or whatever the case may be. So we met in 2019, I think was the year, at Summer League. I think it was the last one before, you know, pandemic was the next year, et cetera. And so I had been following you, or we had been following each other on Twitter for a little bit at that point, because I was trying to learn more about basketball. You were someone that you were tweeting out a lot of clips, just analyzing games and things. I was like, okay, this is cool. And so eventually that kind of grew into me asking you a bunch of questions like, hey, what happened on this play? What is this play name? Did I have this right? Et cetera. And getting to actually meet you for, I think, like a minute and 45 seconds at Summer League, I was like, okay, listen, really? Like, it's cool to put face to the name. We were both in a very crowded concourse trying to get to our next station. But, you know.
Wait, hold on. That's a crazy way to put it. Like, I just dapped you up and said, all right, man, let's no. Do it. I'm taking it. This morning, I scrolled up. I went back. This goes back to 2018. So I would periodically I was just talking about basketball, love talking about the game, wanted more people to talk about the game. I kept seeing your name pop up. I was like, who's this guy? What's he got going on? And I was like, oh, he's talking about the game. Okay. something I was like, ooh, well, I don't know if I agree with that, but I see what you're doing. I understand. And then I looked through the DMs, and it's just me periodically being like, hey, good job, man. Keep going.
Keep it going.
Hey, believe in this. Keep it going. And then, like, I did it, like, periodically for 2 years almost, I feel like. But I was like, I was like, he's on the right path. I think a lot of potential in him. I think he sees the game the right way. I wanted to encourage with whatever juice I had at that time. And so I wanted to show appreciation for someone who was doing it the right way. So that was the lead up to Summer League, where apparently I just dapped Nikias up and went and got a hot dog.
I got a hot dog. It's like, to be clear, I'm not trying to put that like you like big time or anything in Summer League. It was just literally in between games, just for the people that are watching. But it was literally in between games at DM'd them like, hey, I'm here, where you at, yada, yada. And so we finally dapped up, talked for a little bit, and then you went your merry way. I went my merry way. I was like, huh, I met Steve. This is great. I did not know at that time that we were eventually going to be doing a podcast together, because that came a little bit later. This is where I get the call. Shout out to Alex Kennedy, who put me on at Basketball News. That was going to be, they ended up being my first full-time writing job. And tied to those conversations, where, hey, we also, as we're building out this new site, we also want to have a podcast network. Would you be willing to have a podcast? Now, me, someone that I would much rather write than talk. And that is still the case 500 episodes in, but much more comfortable writing than talking. I was like, sure. Like, did I really want to? Like, not really. But hey, this is full-time employment and I get to write. Like, this is stability. If I have to expand, this is kind of where the business is going anyway. So, like, all right, I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And it was like 2 weeks in. It was like, hey, have you thought about the name of your podcast? I was like, oh, this is going to be, this is coming a lot quicker than I anticipated. I was like, okay, I got to think of a name. And ultimately, I need somebody to do this with me. Because this is not going to be a solo pod. If this is going to be a solo pod, this is going to be, it might have actually been 5 episodes before everybody realized, like, I don't know if we want him to do that. And so I shoot Steve a DM, fully expecting, I've told this story before, but fully expecting Steve to say no. I'm just like, this is someone that worked in the league. Like, we chop it up now, we've met, etc. I don't think he actually wants to be, one, a podcaster, but two, I don't think he wants to do this with me. So I send the question, expecting a no, whatever. A little bit later, he's like, sure, man, let's do it. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, let's add some context to this, right? Because okay. I pulled the DM up. December 6th, 2020. Whole paragraph. So you put a lot of thought into that. You were really bracing for the no.
Yeah. By the look of this. See,
and so normally, if anyone, like all my friends will tell you, I'm very much a we'll see. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to you. Non-committal at times, right? Mm-hmm. 21 minutes later, I was like, well, in short, extremely honored and would love to do it. I didn't have any hesitation. I had no hesitation to do it. So I appreciated the invite. And it's something that hadn't really crossed my mind. I always wanted to do something like that. But I, too, was like, I'm never doing this by myself. Like, you know, I believe you shouldn't limit yourself as a human being. But I'm like, I'm not a solo act. We can be honest. I'm not here to just ramble on. I do that enough to myself by myself. So, I you know, this is an opportunity. Try this out. Talk some hoops. I respect Nikias. This should be fun. Didn't really think much past that. And I was like, cool, we'll do it. And then I really sat there when you sent that and I thought about my dad, because my dad had passed by then and we would always talk about basketball. So I didn't have anywhere to put that once he was gone. And I was like, you know what? This will be where I can put this energy. Because, like, you watch games with your friends and it's like you have your fan brain going on, which is fine. I'm seeing 17 different things, but we're going to talk about Tween Tween Hezzy. It's cool. Pass me the chicken wing. It's okay. But this would be the opportunity to just kind of discuss this in a different way. And so that's what kind of just pulled me into it. And for some reason, like without hesitation, I was like, yep, let's do it. And that's not me.
See, okay, I've learned something new. So I did not know that nugget. So that is very touching that you trusted me with this. And I even more so appreciate you saying yes And so we have the initial meetings about the pod. And it's like, how long do y'all think these episodes are going to be? And I'm just like, yeah, probably like 45, maybe an hour, maybe an hour 10 on the super long ones. Which is, again, for the people that have been rocking with us for a long time, you can imagine how funny that sounds. But this was like earnest, like trying to map out, okay, we'll probably have like two or three topics. We'll bounce off some scheme stuff and we'll be out of here. So 45 to an hour, maybe an hour 10 on the long ones. They're like, great. We get to our first episode of the Dunker Spot podcast. And as Steve alluded to earlier, we opened the podcast talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the start to their 21-22 season that they had and how good and interesting the defense was. And it was 2+ hours. And I ended up recording. I was like, hey, I had fun with the conversation. And then I stopped my recording and looked at it. I was like, oh, snap, this is 2 hours. This is going to be awful. Nobody's going to want to sit and listen to this for this long. As we've gotten, you know, shout out to our long-term dunkers. Y'all have not only watched us grow as a duo, you've also literally heard us grow as a duo in terms of, like, our equipment and stuff. And so, like, not only is this 2.5 hours, this is 2.5 hours. Like, we have the fancy, we had the Shure mics at that time, you know? So it's, so I was like, oh God, we are about to blow this immediately. We had a great conversation and I don't know if anyone's going to care to listen to it because of how long it was, etc. And we largely got positive feedback. And I was like, huh. And then because of when we started the pod and things, I think our very next episode was, hey, James Harden got traded. And so we immediately went from, this is just how we talk hoops and we break things down, into now this is how we talk about transactions. And so in hindsight, unbelievable timing that we just kind of got to showcase out the gate. Yeah, these episodes are going to be longer, but you are going to get depth from us. And this is how we talk about the more topical things on top of the nerdier, you know, the nuts and bolts and stuff like that. So it was just cool to kind of see how that branched out. And again, 498 later, we are still here, still growing, still having a whole lot.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been a blast.
It's been a lot of fun. I think we have our first guest popping in for us as we get to reminisce. We're going to have some fun. We do indeed have a guest back on the program. Look who it is. We have Chicago Sky head coach Tyler Marsh back on the program. First and foremost, how are you doing? And tied to that, thank you for joining us today and also for being, I think, our first coach guest that we had on the podcast.
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm doing all right. But first, congrats to you guys for 500 episodes. I mean, this is, you know, just listening to kind of how you guys started. And it's truly inspiration. And that's not just coming from somebody that knows you too and has obviously been a friend of the show. But as a basketball fan, you know that you can never learn enough. And I can honestly say that every time that that I listen to you guys, it helps me, you know, probably more than it helps you. So it's truly an inspiration watching you guys, and y'all are great at what you do, but you're also great human beings. And I think the two go hand in hand, honestly.
I appreciate that a ton, man. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask, first and foremost, were you able to catch any of SummerSlam? We got to get to the hard hitting questions first.
Of course. I had SummerSlam on the iPad. I had the Phoenix Mercury on the laptop. I had the Braves on the TV. So I was locked in.
Oh dear. Okay. So how do we feel about so many titles changing hands? I got to get your thoughts.
Not a fan of Trick Williams losing. Big Trick Williams fan. Would like to see him continue. What did I miss something?
No. I'm laughing because Nekias loves Baron Corbin in that darn End of Days. Absolutely. So I'm dying. That's the first thing he said.
It's a great finisher. It's a great finisher.
See, that's all.
But the man just came back. And Trick has been working his ass off for a while. And, like, unless they have bigger plans for him in the near future, like, I wasn't a fan of him losing. But who else? Liv Morgan, cool. Chelsea Green, that was cool. But yeah, overall, it was a solid pay per view.
Mm-hmm. See, okay, there we go. I have some basketball questions sprinkled in. Oh, but just a quick shout out to the End of Days. That's my whole thing. Loves Baron Corbin. Uh-huh. Is very strong. I'm just a big fan of the End of Days as a finisher. So that's okay. Anyway, you are coming off of a pretty big win against the Las Vegas Aces. Sidney Taylor with the game winner there. One, like, how did you soak in that game in real time? I don't think I ever got to ask, like, a coach how they just feel during, like, a game-winning situation.
Yeah, well, y'all know me. I'm never, like, what you see is kind of my demeanor 99% of the time, at least externally. In the moment, I knew there was just a little bit of time left on the clock. Chelsea almost did Chelsea things and hitting the shot the half-court shot at the end. I think it was still in her hands when she let it go. I think it was 0.9 after our shot went in. But you never really know until it's over.
You never know until it's over.
That is unbelievable timing.
Into a freeze. No.
Oh no.
Oh
dear. We're gonna hope that we get Tyler back. I want to hear the rest of the answer. I guess while we're waiting, Steve. How did you soak in the Sidney Taylor shot? I think we were watching the game separately at that point.
Ooh, buddy. Sidney Taylor would not stop getting buckets, and it was a fascinating game where it's like, all right, cool, Aces got this guy. Nope, sure don't. Here's this defense. We're going to keep scoring. And so, I mean, I love the play call at the end of the game, but also just like the – you got to have guts to take that shot, make that shot in that scenario. And so I think that's just kind of been the confidence that Sidney Taylor has had all year. Fun to see grow, fun to see display, and like for a team that's had a battle all year long, it's nice to see things come together every now and then, you know, and kind of, okay, this is the vision, let's continue to build on that.
Yeah, like I think the steps have been present if you've been watching this guy. Like I've been enjoying just the general setups within their half-court offense, just the way they space. It feels like a lot of pistol-type actions to kind of kick off their offensive sets, a lot of cutting baked into the offense. And then defensively, I'm becoming more and more interested by this sky zone, Steve. When they sprinkle it in and some of the rules baked into it. I think Becky Hammon talked about it post game where we felt like the offense got a little static sometimes because of the way that they cross match first and foremost, but also they jumped it up, they mixed looks, and it just took us some time to kind of read what was happening on the floor. So some positive steps being taken for Chicago overall. And in that game in particular, like it was wild watching the second half. Like you started with Sidney Taylor, just kept getting buckets to start that game. She could not. Very aggressive to start the game, but the shots were not falling for. And so for her to just kind of catch a rhythm in that fourth quarter in particular, it's just like, ooh, oh no, the Aces may want to put a bottle on this if they don't want to be in trouble. And they could not do so. They ended up in trouble. Big win for the Chicago Sky. Steve, I want to ask you a question as we circle back to the pod itself.
What's up?
Do you have a favorite episode?
Don't know if I have one particular one. I think I have some favorite guests. I have some favorite moments. I have some favorite ideas. Mm-hmm. I think like one season one where I just did puns for everyone's name is funny in retrospect. Looking back on it, shout out to that one podcast reviewer who slammed me for it.
Oh, God. Oh, the early pod reviews were a time.
You got to keep some competitive juice going, but that was very funny. So I liked doing that. Probably just like the playoffs when we would go back and forth and just ask questions and try and figure things out in real time and just bounce off that. So those are probably like the general moments, but just like the laughs that we had as far as just like kind of mixing that in and like finding the humor in some of these scenarios and situations because – yeah, it's hoops, but it's also basketball. We love to talk about it, and you know, we also enjoy talking to each other. So let's have some fun.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I just to quickly answer my question, I think Tyler is back. So shout out to the internet bouncing back. Favorite one for me, I listened back to it today, Steve. Christmas in July was such a funny episode in hindsight. That's fresh off of the Bucks-Suns finals. And we did sprinkle in a lot of basketball talk, saluting the Bucks for their journey, saluting the Suns for their journey. But I also want to commend you and also apologize to you, because I did not remember just how yappy I was on that episode and how many grievances I had to file on that episode. I had like a Chris Paul MVP thing. I had a Giannis, the hoop, he not enough of a bag thing in there. Players that caught strays within that podcast, Steve, from one or both of us, included Jeff Teague, Pat Connaughton, and Patrick McCaw. And I'm just like, how did we get to some of these? I just had like a whole like.
Remind me to circle back. I got an answer for that one. Okay. But yeah, this was that podcast.
Shout out to Christmas in July. We'll talk about it. But okay, we do have Tyler Marsh back with us. Hello, sir. Welcome back.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. Sorry.
Hey, listen, you drop, you just never know when it's over, and then you were gone. I was like, wait. That's either super unfortunate or very well thought.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that when the shot went in, I knew there was a little bit of time left, and you know, if you saw the end of Chelsea's heave that almost went in, you didn't know if she had let it go with enough time on the clock or not. But I was just trying to stay present in the moment, and I was incredibly happy for our team. Like we deserved a win like that against a team like that, and so I was just extremely happy for them.
Yeah, I love that for you. Like I was saying to Steve before you came back on, you watch this Sky team and you see the concepts offensively. You see the baked in cutting. You see some of the setups to actions. You go to the defensive end. You see some of the cross matching you can tap into. The zone that is becoming even more fun for me as the season has gone on. It's like the steps are being made. And something that you talked about post-game and something that the players were asked about post-game as well is just you get to these overtime situations or you get to these in-the-game situations, like you're right there, but it's just one little nudge that you need. And so for it to come to a head in that particular basketball game, in a game where Sidney Taylor wasn't making shots to her usual level to start the game but caught fire in the fourth, it brought me back to that Liberty game earlier in the year where she goes to that sidestep on the baseline with Breanna Stewart, who just looked like she was like 12 feet tall. She was contesting that shot and it just goes out. And Sidney's obviously hard on herself in that moment, things like that. And so for it to come full circle to knock down that three against the Aces, you get your first win against Becky. It was just super cool to watch and absorb in real time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think that that's kind of the part that doesn't, that may not get noticed from just a spectator's view is the level of confidence that not just that we have and try to continue to instill in our players, but that it's still a growing process for, like, we're still a young team in many respects for some of our, you know, key players. And so whether it's Sidney feeling like she, you know, came up short in that New York game to being right back in the same type of position against Vegas and converting, like what that does just for her overall confidence moving forward. Camilla, who came out of the most recent New York game feeling like that she let us down when it didn't come down to one play for her at the end of that, you know, at the end of that game, but she hit a big jumper against Vegas late in the game the other day. She had a big stop on Asia late in the game. Like these are still confidence building moments, and it's one of the many reasons, not just from a wins and losses standpoint, of why we can't count ourselves out, why we can't worry about outsiders counting us out. Like there's still a lot of room to continue to grow individually and as a team, and we're excited about that.
Yeah, I guess one broad question I'd ask you, what area do you feel like the team has grown the most in since the beginning of the season?
I think our offensive consistency, like we're not, the numbers aren't saying that we're shooting it great, especially from the outside, but our assist numbers do. Our assist numbers tell the tale that we're moving the ball pretty efficiently. We're still able to attack the paint pretty well. We're seeing a lot of unders on our team, but we're still doing a good job of attacking those. We're getting to the rescreens and getting able to get downhill or get Camilla and Elizabeth over the top. I think Z's been doing a good job attacking switches when she's been able to get, you know, these size advantage down there. So we've done a really good job of understanding who we are from an offensive standpoint. And especially when it comes to the ball movement and the player movement, I think that's been pretty consistent. I would say over the last month and a half almost.
Okay, I got you. I guess on a player side, you just got Dejanay Carrington into the lineup. She's played a couple of games for you now. What have you seen from her? What have you liked from her just being in the locker room with you guys?
Yeah, it's I think what we've seen over the last two games is what we've seen and expected from Dejanay throughout her career. It's been I know she was anxious to get back on the court and wanting to get immediately back to her old self. And so our communication as she's ramped up and progressed back to getting acclimated into the rotation is that, look, you don't got to feel any added pressure of getting back to being who you were. You'll get there in time. But first, you got to get up and down a little bit. You got to get hit a little bit, got to fall down and get back up and know that you're okay to kind of continue to gain that mental confidence. But physically, I think it's been there. You've seen downhill, attacking the paint from her like you have in the past. Obviously, the defensive presence that she gives, the toughness, the intensity, the passion that she exudes on the defensive end, combined with the passion energy that Tosh gives on the defensive end, like having those two as your perimeter defenders really makes it tough and allows you to be versatile from a defensive standpoint, especially as we've been down some bodies the last two. We've been having to play smaller a little bit. And so I think that's where it's given a big boost.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the Dejanay front, one, just glad to see her back on the court. Two, like, I forgot how much fun the emotes from her are. If there's any sort of turnover, like, she's very demonstrative that, we're going that way. Yeah. If there's a missed call, like, she's letting you know. Not getting teed up, but she's going to let you know. Like, she's just a fun player to watch in general. I still have towards the end of the Connecticut game in particular, like the weak side rotation from her and like the strip on the way up. I'm just like, if this is what she's doing game one, boy, we get to game five, game six, she's going to be right back in form. So that part is going to be a lot of fun. I actually wanted to broaden the scope back out because I asked just where you felt the team has grown the most from the beginning of the year. I wanted to ask you, where do you feel like you've grown the most from the beginning of this season?
Yeah, I think, and not just limiting it to the beginning of the season. I think that really from the start of last year, I think going through the type of seasons that we've gone through over these first two and battling, you know, the type of adversity that you have no choice but to grow and but to learn from those experiences just as a leader and as a communicator. And so, I think that's where I've grown the most. And then, you know, from a basketball standpoint, you got to tap into what I've been able to experience coming up in the G League, and that's constant adjustment. Like we haven't had one game this year where we've had a fully healthy lineup, and so you got to continue to adjust. We play with minutes restrictions all year, and so that's that. But you understand that that's not an excuse. That's the way things are. And so you got to figure things out. Your players are dependent on you to figure things out. I'm super communicative and collaborative with our team in terms of what I'm seeing, what they're seeing, and how to bridge the gap if there is any, from both sides of the ball. And so I think we've done a really good job of staying connected and being in constant communication. I think that's translated starting off the court, and that's translated on the court. And you can see it. You can see it. You can feel it. There's a passion and an energy. If you come to our practices or shoot arounds, it doesn't feel like what our record may show. And I talk to our team all the time about, like, throughout my experiences of being in G League, high school, college, NBA, WNBA, like, the W to me is one of the harder leagues to win in, if not the hardest, because there's 15 teams that the record isn't always going to reflect how competent a team or a coaching staff is. And so for us, we just try to,
Oh no. Oh no.
He was cooking too.
He was cooking. Coach was cooking. Oh dear. Well, we'll have to circle back offline to get the full Tyler answer on that front. But I do appreciate Tyler for hopping on with us. Like, one, that was just a very fun conversation that we had with him when we had him on the podcast. What I want to close with him was asking about the blog that he had before getting deeper into the coaching. I was like, hey, do you want to bring that back at any point? Do you have some more updated thoughts as you had this head coaching and continue to have this head coaching experience in Chicago? But I'll shoot him a text or something. We'll see what happens on that front. Steve, we got some fun comments in the chat talking about favorite pod moments, et cetera. Shout out to Tej. Monica calling Jalen Brunson eucalyptus. What a great shout that was. Which, quick shout out to Monica McNutt. Just one, just off general principle, shout out to Monica McNutt. But two, as I was going back through some of our older episodes, that she was technically our first W guest. We had her on for like an NBA / W conversation, I think heading into the W draft, if I remember correctly. And yeah, like being able to flow from Knicks talk and Jalen Brunson and eucalyptus to W thoughts and being able to flow that way. Like, it's very cool to go back and check that one out. And obviously from, 21 to now, like, to watch her growth at ESPN and other places, like, it's been wild, complimentary. So very appreciative of Monica on that front, Steve. I'm trying to think other fun moments that we've had, man. Like, you have 500. It's like so much has happened. Go ahead.
No, I just, I kind of think back and I'm thankful to so many of the guests who have jumped on, all of them, to be clear. But like, particularly you think about the early days, it's like, wait, we have Doris Burke. Doris Burke wants to talk to us. Are you sure about that? Okay, JJ Redick's going to jump on the podcast. Mark Jones. Okay. Like, that's like Tyrese Halliburton wants to speak with us. All right. It's just fascinating in my brain to like think about. Being able to have different conversations with different people within what we do. It's always fun to me. So, salute to you. I gotta get in my guest bag.
Yes. Yes, you sure do. It's a celebratory episode, so I will leave it there. But yes, you do.
I don't like bothering people, man.
Oh, unbelievable. Okay, well, while we wait on the transition period, because we do have another guest come again in a few minutes, we did get a video sent in from friend of the program, just general friend, Caitlin Cooper, the great Caitlin Cooper.
Well, please forgive me, everyone, but I'm going to be reading what I want to say because, I have a lot I want to say, and it's not every day that you get to say congratulations to the internet's favorite basketball podcast about actual basketball for celebrating 500 episodes. It's also pretty rare that a national basketball podcast covering two leagues, mind you, invites an independent writer from small town Indiana to talk into a microphone about a small market NBA team. And yet, Stephen Nikias, you very graciously invited me to have multiple podcast sessions with you about the Indiana Pacers, covering everything from why they veered toward a rebuild to how they emerged from that rebuild in a blur screen, some might say, with a historically great offense to eventually transform into a title contender. We talked about Tyrese's jump passing, and you talked to Tyrese about his jump passing. You allowed me to float this little theory I had long before it went viral about Andrew Nembhard pulling the chair on drives, and we even watched film together, late into the night, debating whether a specific stack wrinkle in which the Pacers forced Victor Wembanyama to defend four different types of screens on the same possession way over in Paris could somehow just maybe be viable against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA Finals. I'm not sure we ever settled on a complete answer to that question, but for three episodes and a watch-along, we had a lot of pun. Fun, just talking hoops. Those are the types of conversations you've had for 500 episodes. And those are the types of conversations devoid of jumping through the hoops of narratives that have added so much to the game that we, meaning you, me, and all the other fans of actual basketball so dearly love. Thanks for your show, and thanks for your shows of support for me in basketball, she wrote. Here's to 500 more episodes, Stephen Nikias.
Oh man.
See,
thank you. I'm getting choked up. So I want to say thank you to Caitlin Cooper, and you should follow Caitlin Cooper. And you're coming back, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, absolutely. That is a guarantee. But thank you to Caitlin, who just a brilliant basketball mind and a great person on top of that, which is what we try to cultivate. Like, it would be very easy to kind of just go big name hunting for guests and things like that. But ultimately, when we have our conversations about who we want to have on, it's can they talk with us and can they talk with us? you know, like we very much cover basketball in a very specific way, but it's also like we want good people on the program. We want people that our community will also embrace on top of this. And so Caitlin fitting as seamlessly as she has and will continue to do, because we're going to ask her to come back on, of course. Like, it's just a testament to everything that I'm speaking to there. I'm very appreciative of that. The watch along was so, what a memory. We really were going back through those Paris clips to find that Spain pick and roll.
Yes. 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 Oh. Yes. It was something from a whole, we watched a whole different game and then it popped into, hey, remember when this happened?
Yes.
Endless debate. But like, if you ask me what's the most rewarding part of doing that, it's like not hearing compliments, but like, it's that. It's just wanting to open a lane for people to talk about basketball and learn about basketball and discuss it in a different way. And like, hopefully you clear a lane for anyone behind you to feel comfortable doing so. And so that's where it, like, I get choked up a little bit, because it's like, you don't want to think like, you want to have the ego to say, oh, we did this, so everyone's doing it. But it's just like, it's so cool that more people are doing it and doing it at such a high level. So,
yeah.
I'll cry in the club later. I'm holding this together.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, this is the day to be reflective and to have a bunch of fun. And we have our second. Oh, my. Hey! It is the great Siobhan Veslow. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, people. Hello. Can you hear me? Am I okay?
Yes, you are good. You are good. Happy to see you. Got to see Siobhan in Chicago for All-Star Weekend. Got to chop it up a little bit. Always a pleasure to have you on. Just, how have you been?
Hello, pals. You know, I've been, you know, alive, earthside. So that's something to be, it's always things to, you know, be grateful for. All-Star was great, you know, so I'm okay. Hug Dwayne Wade. So like, I'm cool, man. I'm really cool.
So, okay. Cause I saw some of the tweets. I haven't gotten to directly ask you about that yet. Can we hang there for like 3 minutes? So you got to have an earnest conversation with Dwayne Wade. What was that like for you?
So we were in Candace's party and, you know, he was just being cool in a corner and, you know, I was trying to be cool around his corner, but, you know, like not in his space because I didn't want to be weird. but, you know, the night was going and I was just like, it's probably now or never. And so I tapped him and was like, you don't know me, obviously. But, you know, you're the reason I wear number 3. When I can't wear number 3, I wear 25, you know, his high school number. And the whole time, so I'm like, you're the reason I wear number 3. And he's like, in his voice, he's like, talk to me. I'm like, sir. And then I'm like, you're the reason, you know, I wear 25. I said, you're the reason I wear 25. And he's like, talk to me. I'm like, Dwayne. And then let's keep going a little bit. And I'm like, you know, I cover Miami. I've been up here for a little bit. Got that ball, that Wade ball signed by him a couple years ago. And I was just saying, you know, things. And then he backs up and like opened his arms and was like, you know, can I get some love? And I was like, you sure can, boy, come here. and then though I had to excuse myself. I left Candace's party and I went on the side, like in the alleyway. I had to cry for like 10 minutes. It was a lot.
Get it out.
But it was great.
No, it's the summer of Siobhan. Giannis and the D-Wade portion. Come on.
Yeah, that's.
Listen, I'm doing all I can. I'm doing all I can.
Well, can I spring a Heat question on you, actually? Because I have some W questions for you.
Okay.
What is the most niche thing that you were excited about with the Giannis experience in Miami?
The most niche thing. I think post-playmaking. I think playmaking out of, like, the elbow area. I want to see what, like, the Giannis BAM things look like. And kind of where people are situated. Super niche, I'm gonna go with how my first son, you know, Baby Jovic fits into things, but that's mm-hmm. really deep and personal. So I'm going to keep that tucked in my pocket. That's probably the most niche thing. It's probably the most niche.
I mean, in theory, a four that can shoot and can pass a little bit, you should be able to do some fun things. Mm-hmm. He does just have to showcase a level.
Four-ish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to showcase some consistency. Well, the defense does have to come along a little bit. Also, like, you've heard the Spo quotes on Mr. Jovic, I would imagine, Steve. Like, it hasn't been, like, mean or anything, but it's very much like, yeah, he just kind of has to grow up. It's like, oh, okay.
Spo said it's time. Hey, you seen the Judge Judy? Hey, it's time. Hey, buddy.
Truly, that man said, shut up, put your head down. You fit, it works. Shut up, get to work. Hey.
You know, don't spend time feeling sorry for yourself. Like, oh, okay, well, Mr. Jovic, important training camp for you.
100%.
So to the W side.
Okay.
How cathartic was that Sky win for you, first and foremost? We just talked about that a few minutes ago.
It was amazing. Like, it was so cool to be in Wintrust for it. So the Connecticut win was really good. And then the Vegas win. And like having, you know, seeing Sydney get her moment, and then like the back and forth late game, being up, then Vegas ties. Vegas set up like the last sideline out of bounds. They set up like the sideline out of bounds that they beat Chicago in or off of a couple seasons ago. But then they changed the inbound position, and I think they kind of changed the play a little bit. You know, you get the fake handoff, and then Asia doing Asia things. But man, it was super cathartic. I almost fell down the steps one time. Sid had a breakaway layup, and I think she missed. But I was already like, because it would have been like the go-ahead layup. And I was already like hanging on to the little banister on the steps. And then she missed, and I kind of like slid down the two steps that I was on, because, you know, it was a thing. But, well, no, it was great. And, huh?
He almost Derulo'd. You can't have that. Winter.
Oh, yeah. No, truly, truly did. But luckily, there was so much else happening around me. You know, I don't think many people noticed. But yeah, no, it was really cathartic. You know, Vegas, Becky, his history, the Sid thing. I love the play that he went to. They've gone to something similar like a couple times when they've needed a go-ahead bucket. They drew something similar up for Skylar one time, I think the Phoenix game. But no, it was amazing. It was so fun to be in Wintrust. You know, Sid kind of had a go-ahead moment earlier in the season, missed, got her moment, and the crowd pop. It was an amazing mm-hmm. crowd pop in Wintrust. It was so fun. Yeah, deeply cathartic for like multiple different reasons.
I love that. I guess zooming out with the W season at large, who've been some of your favorite teams to watch this year?
Oh, I'm always, you know, I'm Chicago down since I've been here. I really enjoy Seattle. I like watching Seattle. I am a big Awa fan. I'm a big Dom fan. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're doing with Ezzy, I personally would like to see, you know, more time with the three of them together. Okay. I've given Dallas a bit of loyalty since, you know, the Satu era. Vegas always. I feel like I'm definitely forgetting somebody, but I genuinely cannot place who it is. Yeah, it's been, like, the W season, and by and large, has just been a fun thing. Like, it's just been a fun season.
Yeah. I had one. Is there anything about this W season that has surprised you?
Think so. Maybe probably is. I just would have to think about it. But right now, I don't think so. Like Olivia coming in and doing what she's doing, I saw some of it. I really pay attention to the way that people move, like in their body. And the way that she moved in college is some of the ways that she's able to move in the pros. And so everything else, in my opinion, was what's mostly going to translate. Same kind of with AZ. She got a lot of like, should she be the number one? Da 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 da. But so many of the things that we love about Paige's game, Like AZ has similar things, the tightness of the handle, the tightness of the pull-up, super efficient, really coachable. So I haven't really been surprised by AZ. I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe I'd have to think off the top. No,
no, that is fair. That is fair. We got him. I guess I want, cause I think when we first had you on the podcast, it was about you and your journey first and foremost. And then we kind of flowed into Chicago Sky Talk. And we talked a lot about the Angel Camilla front court pairing. And so I kind of want to ask you about both of them. Like, what steps have you seen Camilla take this year? And then what have been your initial impressions of Angel in Atlanta so far?
I'll go the second one first. I think they are smoothing things out. I thought initially that kind of looked a little bit how I maybe thought it was going to look, just with regards of figuring people out, where to use her, how to use her. They already have, you know, such elite offensive talent. They have lead handlers. And, you know, we saw one of her most productive stretches in Chicago being when Coach Marsh was able to, you know, do some point forward stuff with her. And they don't necessarily need her to do those things in Atlanta. So I was just, you know, and then Bree Jones being back, like, what does some of that look like? I thought she's been missed on the roll a few times, like early in the season. But I think like as their chemistry, you know, has gotten better, you know, those things come. She's sealing well. She's finishing better than I think that she was finishing early in the season. The rebounds are going to be what the rebounds are. She's just super gifted in that. But for the Chicago side, I think Camilla's gotten stronger. I think she can still be stronger. I think her post positioning has gotten better. She doesn't find herself so deep under the basket to where she's having to, you know, do that like back bend thing, not nearly as often. And so, her finishing has improved. Her position has improved. She's gotten stronger. She's playing more physical. She's holding seals a bit better. And defensively, you know, she's communicative. She's still like super agile for her frame. She's been super fun.
Okay, I had to get the Camilla Cardoso thoughts. Like, I'm glad you pointed out not just the seals, but her holding positioning on these seals. I think Chicago has done a really good job of, like, one, just kind of drawing up some basic stuff for her. Like, some of the cross-screening angles for her to get her touches. Yep. And, like, the hand is raised as she's receiving the cross-screen. It's like, oh, there really isn't much you can do with her when she is this deep into the paint. She's catching with momentum. And the finishing, as you mentioned, has gotten better. So, for me with Camilla, it's always like, how consistently can you do the good things? Because the good things are absolutely there. They are present on film. But like, as she continues to string things along, like, it's hard not to feel good.
The good things also being staying out of foul trouble. Like, we need you on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can't see the
real quick.
No, that's fair. Can't see the good things if you have two fouls in the first 3 minutes of the game. So that part is fair. who's your title favorite right now? Yeah, hot seat time.
No, it is. I think Minnesota. I think Minnie right now. I think Minnie. I probably go Minnie, Vegas, just because, and New York, I think. Honorable mention, Indy and Dallas.
Okay.
But I think, I think I have many.
That is fair. Like,
these are super like predictable questions that I should have been predicting and had myself prepared for, but these are great. No, I think it's many right now.
The guy has called you predictable on 500.
No, take that, brother. And I also didn't mean. And I also didn't mean that. As soon as I said it, I was like, "No, I didn't mean that. You are predictable. These are great things that I should have just had like a notepad of like bullets."
Nope,
right to the heart. Late, Siobhan.
I've already started instigating.
Please, Steve. I already said I wasn't speaking to you until we talked about Zach Fox and Kent Flognaw. So.
That's true. She did. Well played.
Okay. I think last general W question I have for you, I want to ask, and this is a question I'm going to ask Steve as well, moving forward. Mm-hmm. If you have to pick an MVP candidate from the Fever, who would it be?
Kelsey.
It'd be Kelsey. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I've floated this out to Steve earlier this year. It's like, I've been kind of in a headlock with the trio of Kelsey plus Caitlin plus Aaliyah. With what Aaliyah does on both ends of the floor, how important she is. Caitlin, obviously, like head of the snake, the playmaking, general box score excellence. And she has been electric as of late. She on top of this, like the 3-point shooting is just there. And then Kelsey Mitchell just has not stopped scoring at all. And if you look at some of the on-off data, like she has the better splits of the three. So it's just like, what do you prioritize? And so I hope you didn't take that as like a gotcha question or anything like that. I think it's like genuinely fascinating when you have three talents that fit as well together as they do. And as we've seen on the high end with this Fever group, as they've been insane offensively, it's a fun collection of talents. I'm just like, the conversation's starting to heat up as we get to the second half of the year. So I wanted to get your thoughts.
What's Steve's answer?
Steve, what is your answer?
Why not both?
Why? I'll tell you why not both. Because if you can, he's trying to get me. He's trying to get me. I'm going to indulge though. The answer can be both. Because if there's, I just generally, if you are not like surefire the best / most valuable player on your team, it's hard for me to get to like serious MVP conversation with you. Like you kind of have to sort out the team part first. You know what I mean? So like for me, like it's not a both if we're talking about MVP candidate. If we're talking about all W, then sure, make the argument for all three.
Oh yeah.
If we're talking about who the MVP candidate is, you kind of have to decide, okay, it is Caitlin because X. It is Kelsey because X. It is Aaliyah because X. I don't want to see two of them in the top. Like you kind of have to be the one on your team for me. That's just generally how I approach it. We had similar conversations about Vegas.
I also feel like late game. I don't mean to dogpile. I cannot be subbing my MVP out on defensive possessions, personally. And it's no shade. Like I get coaching brilliant because you do what you need to do as a coach. But like personally, I take a little, couple notches off.
Okay, I'm just gonna throw this out there. I'm gonna take us back to 1999. Number two in MVP voting was Cheryl Swoops. Number three was Cynthia Cooper. Sometimes you make tough decisions. I'm just throwing it out there. There's precedents. I'm just saying. One of them.
I'm gonna take your. Oh. I was six, so I'm gonna take slurry. It was a year after I started playing. No, I'm contextualizing like where I'm able to pull from.
See, so what we've learned during the celebration is that I'm predictable and Steve is old. That is so tough.
Yahoo, cut this out. Edit all of this out. I wasn't on the show.
Too late. And you coming back to talk Miami Heat.
Listen, whenever.
Listen, that first like 12-5 off the bench game from Nikola Jovic, you will be getting a text message from me.
I'm going to be nuts. I'm going to look unrecognizable. AI, I'm going to let you know right now, AI is out of hand. So whatever you see from me is not me.
Wow.
Just saying.
I'm just going to leave that one alone. Okay. Well, Javon, thank you again for rocking with us. Thank you for being a part of our podcast, not just the stream, but previous episodes. And even beyond that, the consistent support that you have shown us, both with the show and just with what we do and who we are as people in general. Means the world. It's always a pleasure to see you. It's always a pleasure to chop it up with you. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I love
both of you genuinely. I mean it when I call you guys brothers. That you guys are so important in this community. and it's, you guys could be doing who knows whatever else. But giving your time and educating the people and like having the passion that you guys do for this, like the things that you do, invaluable. So anytime I'm able to hop on, it's not a problem. I love you guys. Truly.
We love you
too. And we love you too. Thank you. We appreciate you, Siobhan. We got Steve. We heckin' got him. I knew it was gonna be one of these though. Like it's
hey, you gotta. I'm holding on for a dear life, toes. Like I'm trying to force a cramp. So you know what I mean.
Trying to force a cramp is crazy.
It works. Don't ask me about it, but it works. But yeah, shout out to Siobhan. Love that.
Oh just, dear. Well, I'm gonna let you have that.
As always, has been down with us since day one. So really appreciate that and all your contributions. Obviously, did we have anything from the YouTube crowd? By the way,
boy, do we? We have some fun questions in here, and I already see which one I'm going to end with. So I'll keep that one in the tuck. But going from the top, from Nikias's favorite interview question for Nikias: how did you fall in love with the game of basketball? That is a Nikias classic when we have the guest on. That's a good shout. Thank you for listening. that got him. I think honestly for me, because I think I've said this before, like the trajectory for me in terms of sports love, like it started with NASCAR because my granddad was a huge NASCAR fan, still a big Jeff Gordon fan. And so it went from NASCAR to football, and it went from football to basketball, and basketball just completely took over. And I think for basketball, it was a mixture of playing it locally, but also a whole lot of video game stuff. I was in the house a good bit. And so like this is early NBA, like NBA Live 99, I think was the one that had Antoine Walker on the cover or on the cartridge, I guess, because I had a Nintendo 64. So like playing that a bunch. And so like from the NBA Live stuff, eventually getting to 2K, obviously the NBA Streets and things like that. So it was a mix of playing it, playing video games, and then also finally getting to watch some of it, like getting to see Shaq, getting to see like early Dwayne Wade. Then it was early Dwayne Wade plus Shaq, which really sparked the Heat fandom for me. And then as I got into actual team fandom, then it was like easy for me to just like lock in and learn more about basketball. And so the love has just kind of blossomed from there. And it has turned into all of this, just to give the abbreviated version of the story. But yeah, that is where it goes for me. This one coming from Don Javis in the chat. Big fan here and congrats on 500 episodes. Hoping for 500 more.
Don Javis? He's Don never watched on YouTube.
I have one question for you both. What is one thing you've learned about basketball and yourselves while working on this podcast together? Ooh, that's a fun one.
Ooh. Ooh, go ahead, Nikias. You go first.
I would say, like, one of the many benefits of doing this podcast with Steve, and again, I've said this a bunch, but like going into something knowing that the person you're working with is just smarter than you is such a cheat code, because like I really have no excuse but to learn. And so like getting deeper into like defensive rotation, if we're going like on-court stuff, like defensive rotations in particular are something that I've gotten a lot better at in 2026 compared to 2021. By doing this podcast and listening to you and seeing your threads and things like that. So I'll start with the defense on that portion. What I've learned about myself, one, on a basic level, I guess I certainly talk more than I give myself credit for, because good gracious, if we've knocked out multiple 2 hour plus episodes throughout the history of this thing, I have a lot more to say than I give myself credit for. Yeah, I guess that'd probably be like the broader takeaway. Like I'm more expressive than I give myself credit for. Cause I do feel like I'm very comfortable just kind of being in my own little bubble and being quiet. But this medium kind of forces me to get out of the shell a little bit. And so that's what I would go with. What say you, good sir?
You should keep going out of the shell, by the way. I'm gonna keep hammering at home. Well done, because you are a real yapper, and I can say that because I've done 500 episodes. I can say that. It's okay. There's no problem with it. No beef. What's one thing I've learned about basketball? You have to stay curious in order to talk about it. You can never arrive at a point where you think you have all the answers. You have to have a constant curiosity about the game and have the ability to be willing to be wrong and make an error and make a mistake, but also be able to talk about, okay, I thought this would happen. This is the reality. And that's kind of the joy of watching these teams throughout a season and, you know, asking these questions back and forth with you, Nikias, and trying to figure out who these teams are, what they could be, what they won't be. And we have different ideas. We have different thoughts. We also have a lot of similar thoughts. I think that's the funniest part that people don't necessarily get. Yeah. And like, it's not forced. We have a lot of similar thoughts. So now, because we have similar thoughts, we have to do additional thinking to get to a different place, right? I like the Orlando Magic. Me too. Well, what do you like about the Magic? I like their defense. I like Paolo Banchero. Split. Like, that's just a random example, but it's like you kind of have to be able to do that. Like, I love the Las Vegas Aces. Nikias always talks about the Las Vegas Aces. So what can I add to the Aces conversation that Nikias won't hit? So I've learned about being able to see different things on top of what you appreciate and not being stuck in the mud as far as just, I believe this is going to happen. Like, basketball is subjective. That's the one thing you should never forget. Basketball is subjective. People are going to appreciate and like different things. There's different ways to win. And how many ways can you appreciate something that maybe you don't agree with, or maybe it's not your particular style of play, I think is interesting. You know, so I always value the defensive team that is winning games. Nikias is going to tell me this team can't play offense. I'm not necessarily going to care about that because this team is playing defense. But that's like, I understand what you're saying. And that may be the door that they fall into. But this defense, though. So I've just kind of learned that, like, you have to be comfortable in your own basketball skin to understand this is a game that's evolving but also stays the same. Like, everyone's still running flex. So, like, it's been fun to kind of, like, I never want to be, like, the – I've always said, like, I don't have to be the expert, even though I am. Like, no, Nikias always graciously calls me the smartest in the room, but I'm like, I don't want that. I'm just a guy who knows a lot, but I'm trying to learn more. The more that I learn, the more that I communicate, the better I can get. If I ever arrive at the point where, this is how you do it, something's gone wrong with Steve. What I've learned about myself, how to be more vulnerable and just go for it. I think that's the biggest thing. To do this podcast, it's not about perfection. I think that was the biggest thing I had to learn early. Because again, me and Nikias are similar. A lot of prep work. A lot of ready to go. A lot of points we want to hit. We both can't feel the same way about doing the podcast. So for me, I was like, well, okay, this is a chance for me to look into my soul and be like, all right, how do I bounce off Nikias? How do I let go of having to say XYZ? If one of us says it, that's a win for the team. So, can I add on to that? Because we'll have similar thoughts. So if we both like a team, and I know Nikias is going to say this, well, that's covered. I don't have to say it. Let me dive into something else with that team. And so just kind of understanding, okay, the teamwork aspect of it, the understanding the humanity aspect of it. What do people want to talk about, but what do they want to hear? Can I put a twist on something that maybe I hadn't thought about? And so it's just kind of understanding and reaching, like, okay, I used to have, like, if someone ever finds my phone and they go to the notes app, you're going to just see a lot of podcast episode scratch notes. But, you know, it used to be like full-length essays when we first started out. And it was like good, but it was also like, okay, how do we make this more of me and you going back and forth? And me acknowledging what you might say and me anticipating what you might say, having a question for that. Or, hey, I want to make sure I say this about this team. If you hit two of the three things I want to say about this team, I'm going to the fourth. Or I'm asking a question and being able to bounce off that. So it's just like I've learned to just kind of be more open, be more understanding, be more patient. I know I make a lot of faces. Sorry, I'm a visual person. That's why I don't play poker. But
fair enough.
That's the answer to a first-time YouTube watcher, Don James.
Okay, there we go. Oh, glad Don James is enjoying internet time for today. All right, to the next one. What's the biggest difference between episode 1 and 500? Any tips for aspiring hoops content creators? Honestly. Good. I think you nailed a big part of this, Steve. So I'm personally not going to hang here too long. Like, I think there just has to be a natural curiosity. And I think we've gotten mailbag questions similar. I think ultimately you have to care about and you have to like what you're doing more than anything. Because if you are just chasing, everyone's talking about LeBron to Philly, so now I am going to talk about LeBron to Philly, you can do it. You're not really going to love it to the same degree versus I am super interested in something about the LeBron to Philly experience. Just to use that as an example, it's a lot easier to kind of build a boat. And so as you get into creating content about hoops, like, it has to start with, what do you care about? What are you curious about? Like, obviously you are trying to serve and ultimately build an audience, so you can't completely ignore what the landscape is. But in terms of fulfillment, in terms of like being able to be consistent with it, because the most basic rule of content creation is you have to create content consistently. If you do it on a Monday and then you do it 2 weeks later and then you do it 3 weeks later and then you do it 2 days later and then you do it 3 weeks later, you're not really going to build anything. And so like, I think it starts with understanding what you want to learn, what you want to engage with. And I think it becomes a lot easier to kind of build your niche and build your audience from there, because people can tell when you enjoy what you're doing versus this is a job type beat.
Biggest difference, authenticity. And that's not to say episode one wasn't, but there's a comfort in just talking about the game that I don't know if I had before, in the sense that maybe I wanted to overcompensate or maybe I wanted to explain every single thing. I don't think I have to explain every single thing at this point. I think it's like earning the trust of people and being your best self puts you in a position where you know, like, I can control the things I can control. I watch these games. These are my thoughts. Maybe I missed something on this episode. I can always circle back to it. But like, my biggest thing is like, you have to be yourself. You have to be authentic. And one of the best, my favorite parts about doing this podcast is making these episodes that are a little sticky, right? A little sticky. Like, you can listen to it and it can last 4, 5, 6 days because that team might do those things we talked about over the next week or so. And so, like, if I give any tips for aspiring hoops content creators, be yourself, do something you enjoy doing, that will draw what you need to. If you force the issue, as Nakia said, it's like you're not going to enjoy it and the people that watch it will not enjoy it. And if they do enjoy it, now you're stuck doing something you don't necessarily love. So you just have to be able to be yourself. Like, the most fun part is like, and like when we started, like even when I started tweeting stuff out, I was like, I'm so sure I could take an X player's account and just do it from there. And they'll probably like it more than from me. Like, they probably want to hear this, but not from me. But then I was like, okay, I'm still going to do it anyways. Doesn't matter. Let's continue on. And you see like more people doing team-based X's and O's stuff or team-based basketball stuff. And it's like, that's neat to see. How do you operate in that world? Well, it's because you're talking about something you're passionate about. And other people are passionate about that. That's the thing.
No, I love that. I guess to answer the first part of this, biggest difference between episode one and episode 500, I guess to bounce off what you said, Steve, it is less rigid, I think, in terms of the structure. Because as Steve will attest to, the Google Docs and the show outlines, like, I very much want to make sure we mapped out. The one thing we never did was like, hey, I'm going to say X, Y, Z, etc. But in terms of these are the teams we're going to hit, this is the order of the pod we want it to be, yada, yada. Very, very much a stickler. Because I am naturally not organized, it was both, hey, I want this podcast to do well, and it's also me trying to improve at being organized. And I think very early on, it kind of led to some, like, hey, man, what's all this? So here's actually what I'm going to say. Let's have a conversation. It's like, oh, well, okay. And so I think if you look at a show sheet from between the first 10 episodes and the last 10 episodes, like, you get some bullet points from me in the latter portion. In the first, it's more like chapter one, intro, chapter two.
I peel the curtain back. I revolted. Like, and Nikias works his tail off. He puts a whole bunch of effort into the sheet. And he was like really tied to the sheet in a way where I was like, hey, can we hang here for a second? Whatever. We went back and forth through that. And then I revolted because there were portions I was supposed to fill out the sheet. I didn't put anything. Because, like, well, you're just going to figure it out once we start recording, buddy. You're just, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to say once we're live.
And then, we did indeed have to work through that. Yeah.
We've evolved to a different place. Shout out to our production team.
There we go. We have certainly done it. A question for you specifically, Steve. What's your favorite Bill Walton story? Your dad was hilarious dealing with him on those old NBC NBA telecasts, but your dad let him in the house.
Yes, I was a mark when I was a kid. I didn't know how close they were friendship-wise for a long time. And then when my dad told me on a car ride, I was like, what do you mean you guys are best friends? I've been listening to this for, like, what do you mean? You couldn't tell me? And so that was a funny bit. Probably the point where, like, it was just like, I couldn't grasp the fact that they were that tight. And then my dad would tell me stories about them. And I was like, why were you in the mountains, in the hot springs? Like, why are you and Bill Walton taking these long trips? Like, what? I couldn't process it as my dad told me more and more. So, my, like, probably my favorite story is probably when, like, Bill Walton was like, I think I'm done. And my dad was like, no, you're not. And gave him all this philosophy because that's who my dad was. But, like, I couldn't understand because I felt the same way watching. Like, I had many people talk to me about the dynamic they had and the straight man against Bill, and I couldn't understand that they were friends. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me. Because I'm like, I've been sitting here trying to tell you to get a catchphrase for the last 4 years of my life as an adolescent because he's saying throw it down and you don't have a throw it down and y'all are just homies. I bet.
And y'all are just homies is absolutely fine. That is fantastic. All right, two more to close things out. From Crab Photographer, shout out Crab. Does Nikias like older players now that he's approaching 38 years old? Very layered question. A throwback to season one, where the entirety of season one and like a large chunk of season two of the Dunker Spot was me layering a criticism and Steve saying, let me check his age real quick. And like 85% of the time at minimum, the player's age started with a three, which just became a bit of Nikias hates older players. While being a Chris Paul fan at that, but it, you know, neither here nor there. The bit was the bit. So I will say, do I like older players now? I think it's maybe an annoying answer. I feel like I'm in the same place. I am much more can you defend? If you can defend, I'm cool. If you can't, I'm going to poke at the defense. Unfortunately, most of the defensive slippery players happen to be older. And so, and this is why I can rock with a Chris Paul. This is why I can rock with, like, the good version of Brooke Lopez in Milwaukee. It's like, okay, this is a deep-boy candidate because he's doing his job, et cetera. If you can't hold up on that end of the floor, it's just like, hey, what we doing, what we cooking. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So you're gonna extend the same grace to Mike Conley in Boston this year, right?
Yeah. If he holds up, he takes threes, I'm good.
Interesting. What was our final question?
Then, you know, okay. Final question. Now that we're done talking basketball, how does the 500 episode impact LeBron's legacy? Steve has taken off the earbuds. And with that, I say thank you for listening to and or watching this special stream as we celebrate 500 episodes of the Dunker Spot. Thank you all for your support. Thank you to all the dunkers. Thank you to all of our great guests that have given us their time and their trust. And a quick shout out to the future guests that we're going to have as we continue to build this thing out. Thank you again to Steve for being an awesome co-host, an awesome friend, a brother to me. Thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you've meant to me over the past 5+ years. And thank you all again for listening. Please subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. Apple, Spotify, RIP Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Subscribe to the Yahoo Sports NBA YouTube channel. That is where our NBA content will live, and we got some fun stuff cooking tomorrow. Subscribe to the Yahoo Sports main YouTube channel. That's where our W content will live. And with that, We will catch y'all tomorrow.
Do you just automatically go to the outro? Is that just like is that a vocal stem? Do you just
I'm done.
Just do it?
It's 500 of these. Yeah.